Welcome to the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners
by small business owners.
My name is DJ McAlex, and also spinning on the tables is
Natalie McLeese.
Yay! And welcome to episode
14.
We are on episode 14. I'm very proud of us. I didn't think we'd make it this far. I'll be honest with you.
What did you think we would do? How many episodes did you think we would finish?
Probably two.
Two?
Yes. I thought
we had two before we even launched.
I know. And I thought that was all we were going to do. There's a couple of things that are making me kind of laugh right now. One is the fact that you sound like you went on a bender last night and you just got ripped. The second thing that's making me laugh is in the San Gabriel Valley of Southern California, there's a pack of wild parrots that just roam around all the neighborhoods, and they descend on a tree and they just start squawking and making this shrill sound. And sometimes they do it at like odd times in the morning. And one time they were in my tree just having a big old party, you know, 2-3 in the morning. So I got up out of my bed, I picked a lemon off the tree, and you better believe I threw it into the midnight sky. And I don't think I hit one, but I definitely dispersed that group of birds. And I'm just saying that because I might have to do that before we get started.
I don't hear anything.
I threatened by lifting my arm that has a lemon in it, my hand. And they shut up, so.
This is the first episode that we're recording where we're not in the same room.
I know, we're not in the same room, and I'm kind of nervous because
we're not even in the same state.
Yeah, you are in purgatory, aren't you?
In purgatory, yeah, the state of purgatory.
Also known as Pennsylvania.
I flew here, my flight was delayed, I got here about 2 a.m., last night.
Is that why you're sounding a little rough?
That's why I sound a little rough. Sorry.
you shouldn't sound sorry. I wish every day you sounded like you just were in a mosh pit at like a death metal concert or something like that.
Oh, it's not that bad, is it?
No, not at all.
All right. I don't know why you gotta make fun of me.
Oh, you know what? Don't start with me. You always make fun of me, okay? So don't try to play for sympathy points here. Everyone knows you're full of it, and I can back that up, too. So for our 5 listeners who might be listening to this, I thought Natalie was the sweetest and nicest person I'd ever met until I found out she wasn't. I found out she was a little evil, and she usually directs that evilness directly at me.
What can I say, Alex? You bring out my worst side.
It's about the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. We have, like, a challenge to talk about.
We do. Did you do last week's challenge from Jay?
I did, actually. And again, you know, Jay was such an awesome guest. I loved his down-to-earth tips and everything. And whenever we, and just for, in case you don't know and you didn't do the challenge, what was it, Nat?
It was to ask for a referral or a review from your customers and clients.
Yeah, that's what we asked for. Natalie, I'm gonna tell you to go first. So I wanna hear what happened on your side of things, what you did, what happened, and all that good stuff.
Well, for Purple Pen, I had actually asked for reviews a little while ago, so I have some really nice testimonials that are on my website. I even have a few Yelp reviews, even though I know how we feel about Yelp. I have a few reviews on there. I have a few reviews on LinkedIn and Facebook. But one thing that I've had a challenge with is getting enough good reviews for products. I had mentioned last week that my partner Nathan was pretty good about coming back to somebody who was happy after an interaction and asking for a good review. So I started doing that this week too. Where if I help somebody over support and they were really happy, I would say, hey, great, I'm glad it worked for you. Would you mind writing us a review?
And has anyone delivered the reviews yet?
They have. We got one so far. You know, sometimes it takes people a little bit of time. But nobody came back and was like, no, how dare you ask me that?
Of course not.
yeah, so I feel like it went pretty well. I think it'll be a good way to rack up a lot of 5-star reviews on some products. So I think it was a really great tip. I'm really glad we had Jay on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I owe that guy a beer now. And did you know that his son, Adam's a huge fan of the podcast?
Is he? How old is Adam?
I think he's probably like 5 or something like that. 4 or 5.
And he's going to grow up to be a multimillionaire business owner because of us?
It's probably going to be because of his dad, who, you know, is like a quintillionaire or something like that. But we can take credit for it.
I like my story better.
Well, the little kid likes your voice better, apparently. He thinks I sound like a dum-dum head.
Hmm, how odd. Well, hello, Adam. Thanks for listening.
You know, I'm going to feel really bad if Adam is not this kid's name.
Oh, no.
So I did this challenge, too. I also asked for reviews from a couple support tickets that I did from my own clients, and they haven't written any reviews yet, but each one responded and said, yes, I would love to leave you some reviews. And, you know, the whole asking for reviews or referrals, that's something I do kind of have built into my offboarding process. Well, more my offboarding process with projects. And mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, I won't get into this too deeply because I want to talk about something else I did. But when I finish a project, I offboard clients with a couple, with a few different emails in an automation. The first one just says, you know, thanks for trusting us with your business. Here's what to expect as we close things down. And here's some things that we would like you to do. So there's a survey that we ask for, and then we also ask for reviews. So I'll do that like 3 times after project closes down.
Where do you ask people to post those reviews?
I ask them to post on Google, and I ask them to post on LinkedIn, and I don't ask for Yelp because I'm just diametrically opposed to Yelp. But the fact is that Yelp is a huge factor for local businesses. It's something that shows up in pretty much any search ranking for local providers. I think that's something that I should reconsider. If you're a local business, even though I'm poo-pooing Yelp right now, it's kind of you can't really ignore it. It's something you have to do, I think.
Yeah, but the Google reviews, like the Google My Business reviews, I think those are really important as well.
They absolutely are. So I definitely ask for that. But I think you should do both. That's what I think. But
well, I think one important thing is that if your clients or customers are already pretty regular users of Yelp, it makes sense for them to leave a review. If they're not, Yelp is just going to bury their review anyway. So there's not much point in them leaving it if they're not already active on the platform.
And the other thing that I did is I recently sent out an email to current clients and then some former clients who we don't do business with, just to kind of, you know, gently ask for a referral. I mulled on whether or not to incentivize it. You know, I just said, hey, you know, I know we've done some work for you. We've done some work for you recently, or we've done some work for you in the past. And, you know, I was just curious to know if you knew anyone who, you know, might be looking for services. And it's resulted in 5 emails or in 5 referrals. So I have 3 of those scheduled for phone calls over the next week. That turned out to be unexpectedly a lot better than I thought. And then, you know, I got a referral from another colleague too, but it doesn't look like it's something that I'm going to be able to take on. But it's interesting what happens when you ask.
Yeah, definitely. That's amazing results from reaching out and asking for some referrals.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of nutty. I don't know why I have such a big problem asking for a little help in that regard, but it just goes to show, you know, you have to get outside of your head. And or at least for me, that's my problem. You know, I kind of get stuck in my head. And, you know, I don't think that anyone wants to be bothered by me, but it just goes to show that, you know, we're not mind readers. We don't know everything, and we just have to do the thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really easy to think, well, who am I to ask for this? Why would anybody do this for me? But if you put yourself on the other side, you know, if you hired somebody to do a job and they did a great job, wouldn't you be happy to tell the world about it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the right way to think about this stuff.
I try to make it a point, like for me personally, this is a little bit of a side note, but I try to make a point for me to always leave reviews when I've had a good experience somewhere. And if I have a bad experience somewhere, I try to give the business a chance to make it right before I post up a negative review publicly.
You're a better human being than I am. I just go straight to I go straight to Google reviews, fire and brimstone. These people are the worst. Blah. And, you know, I just get right into it. So I don't even give them an opportunity. Case in point, I sent out a tweet yesterday about the Google Analytics dashboard plugin and my concerns about its handling of information. And, you know, I probably could have looked into that a little bit more before I posted the tweet. But if presidents can do it, so can I.
I think you should be careful about where you're drawing your standard of behavior from.
Well, you know what? On that note, so do you think that do you feel that this was a good challenge, a helpful challenge for you?
Yeah, it really was. And I'm sure within the next few days, I'll see some more 5-star reviews coming in as a result of just reaching out and asking for them.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. Good job, you.
Thanks. Good job to you, too. 5 referrals. That's amazing.
Oh, man, we just totally high-fived through the internet.
Alex, that was just you slapping your own hand.
You know, we have the ability to make it seem like we're doing magical stuff here. I really need you to buy in.
All right. Sorry. Wow, that was amazing that we just reached right through the internet and high-fived.
Natalie, that's not how you do it. Why are you always so mean to me?
Apparently, I can't do anything right.
Well, that's what I've been telling you the whole time. But we're not gonna dwell on the past, okay? I think, let's see.
Do we get to move along to torturing you with this week's challenge now?
Well, I thought we didn't have a challenge for this week. What are you talking about? I thought we were just going to talk about last week's challenge and tell people, okay, peace out, bye.
This is you trying to get out of a challenge again. My favorite challenges are the ones that make you so uncomfortable.
You know what? Fine. You tell me the challenge and I'll be very happy about it. Let's hear it.
You won't be happy about it. The challenge is to be the boss of your email. What was that sound?
That was the sound of depression, sadness, and failure escaping my body all at once at the notion of having to fiddle with my email.
Yeah. So you brought this up on a couple of episodes now about how you're having a hard time dealing with your emails.
You know, I could use it.
So why don't you talk a little bit about the challenges that you're having with your email?
Well, it's not like I always have mountains of email. And I try very hard to get to this thing called inbox zero, which is just not having any emails in my inbox, because I feel like if I do that, then I can focus on other things. And the thing is emails kind of trickle in throughout the day and night and all that stuff. And yeah, that's the sort of thing that, you know, I think is me being productive. But whenever emails come in, I feel compelled to respond to them right away. And here's the stupid thing with this too. I have this email add-on called MixMax. Sometimes when I respond to an email, even though I'm responding to it right away, I'll set the actual reply time to be like 1 or 2 hours into the future.
Uh-huh.
So I don't get a response back right away.
Okay.
Which, the more I think about it, the more silly it sounds, because, you know, why do I just not respond to the email until I'm ready to respond to the email? But
well, I think the bigger question there is, why are you reading emails when you don't want to be responding to them?
Well, maybe I would never respond to an email ever, because you know, I don't know. It emails definitely break up my concentration, and sometimes in the mornings I'll spend like an hour going through emails and responding, you know, just making sure that, you know, everything's been replied to, that, you know, everything's covered that needs to be covered. And then, you know, I'll be honest, like sometimes, you know, if there's a project that's pressing, sometimes I develop anxiety over the emails that I receive in response to queries like, where are things at with the project? Or, you know, just simple things like that. And it can cause anxiety. I make sure to respond to those as soon as I can. But, you know, the feeling that I get is kind of unnerving, and my concentration breaks as a result of it.
It can definitely break into your concentration. And I think the work we do definitely requires you to be in a certain state of mind to be productive, writing and debugging code and coming up with solutions for problems and all of that kind of stuff. So I do find that my concentration is a little bit fragile, and I have to guard it really carefully to be sure that I can be working at my maximum capacity and productivity.
Yeah. You do something that kind of boggles my mind when it comes to emails.
Well, I have a few strategies for dealing with emails.
Before we get started, these strategies that you're about to share, do you feel that these make you the boss of your email?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm skeptical, so I might have some very pointed questions for you, but let's go. Let's hear it.
Or you're going to flip over your desk.
Yeah, I might. I just got that desk not too long ago. It's about time to flip it.
Well, make sure you move your computer off of it first.
Yes, Mom.
The first thing that I do with my emails, and I had to work up to it, but I only check emails once a day. It's the first thing that I do when I sit down to work for the day. I just go through my entire inbox, respond to anyone who needs an answer to something. And if there's a task associated with an email, I do leave it sitting in my inbox until I complete the task. But I wouldn't say, I definitely also write that on my to-do list. So leaving it in my inbox is just for convenience for me, that I don't have to then go back and try to find that email when it's time to do the task. So it's not that I'm using my inbox as a to-do list, but that I'm just kind of keeping those there for convenience. I used to work with my emails just open all day long and constantly jumping over there. And I realized that it was really detrimental and that I wasn't being very productive. And in fact, just last week, I had a situation where I was trying to launch a new feature on a website for a client. And there were some issues with their server that I had to work with them and the hosting company to sort out. I was mostly just in a holding pattern and occasionally answering messages about things, but I tried to work on something else. But I was in that situation again where I had my emails open and I was trying to do something else and just checking those constantly. And I realized how terrible that is. I couldn't get to a state of flow. I couldn't really concentrate on what I was trying to do until the whole situation was resolved and I could finally just close my email, which I think is the thing that made me think that it might be time to do this as a challenge.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I often have my email up, and in fact, I have it open right now, just so you know.
But we're recording a podcast, Alex.
Well, yeah, but I still have to respond to emails.
Are you actually going to respond to them while we're recording the podcast?
Here, hold on, Natalie. Dear Mom, I told you not to send emails to this address. This is for business only. Please use my personal one at babydollboobosocks92@gmail.com. Love, your son, Alex. Your favorite son that you know about.
Okay. So do you think that you would be able to do something where you checked emails only once a day?
I think once a day seems low. It feels low.
And it is, to be fair. Like, that's a choice that I've made for how I want to work.
So the one of the concerns that I have is I do get multiple tickets throughout the day, just mm-hmm. random support tickets. And, you know, there's an agreement that I have in place that tickets received between certain hours will be responded to within a 4-hour time frame.
Okay.
I feel like a number of those tickets don't always get responded to by the person I have who helps me with support. Okay. And so some of those I have to respond to. So I feel like I would have to do it more than once a day. Like, once a day seems like I don't know that I could commit to that, but uh-huh. I could commit to checking my emails far less than I do.
You have built in for yourself a 4-hour window, which is conveniently half a work day.
So, Natalie, are you saying that maybe I could check my emails twice a day or something like that?
If you take a lunch, you're going to be stretching that 4 hours. So we might say 3 times. So you might do it first thing in the morning when you sit down. Then you might check again before you go to lunch. And then you might check again before you close up for the day.
Okay. I can commit to that. I think 3 times sounds like something I can do. And the thing that makes me nervous is not being available right away to answer stuff, or, you know, things that could be time sensitive. But also, there's nothing that ever needs an immediate response. I'd say like 90% of the time, an immediate response is not required.
What I have set up, because I only answer my emails once a day, and obviously if at 1 p.m. somebody's site goes down, right, they don't want to wait till the next morning of the next business day for me to get back to them. So I communicate really clearly with my clients that I am only checking emails once a day, and that if they have an emergency, they need to call or text me so that I'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could do something similar. You know, you could even have an autoresponder that goes back saying, hey, we'll answer this within 4 hours. If it's something that needs immediate attention, please call.
Yeah, that I could work with that. Yeah, I think I could definitely work with that.
And I think, like, sometimes you feel like, oh, but people have come to expect me to respond within 10 minutes. But that's because you've set that expectation over all the time that you've worked with them by always doing that. But I think it's perfectly fair, and clients are very understanding, if you say, listen, I can't keep up with this anymore. Here's what my new system is going to be. You know, it's going to be 4 hours. It might take me the full 4 hours to get back to you. If you need something faster, call me.
That's something I can do. And, you know, I have a question too. You ask clients to call you directly if they need something?
Yeah.
How often would you say that you get phone calls from people?
Less than once a month.
What? Oh, wow. Okay. And do you ever get your clients texting you or anything like that?
Very rarely.
Okay. And, you know, like, for me, I do want to set the expectations for how people can get a hold of me. And I don't normally direct people to call me. Just because, you know, I think that's distracting too. But again, I might only get a call from 1 or 2 customers every month. So it's really not that big of a deal. And every day I'm sinking time into my email.
And you're losing a lot of time. And I think it causes a lot of anxiety too. And if you don't want people to call you, like, I think it's fine to set up an alternate way, but I think it's important that people have a way to get to you pretty quickly if they need to.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't want people calling. Like, maybe you could ask them to text or send a message another way. We have a million ways of getting in touch with people these days. But like, true. Some emergency channel that you could easily monitor that's going to have a really low volume of messages, so that if there is some kind of emergency, people feel confident that they can get hold of you.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And then I would say too, because you mentioned something that you were doing that I have found was horrible for me, which is just peeking in and looking in your inbox when you have absolutely no intention of actually responding. Right, like, oh, you're on a road trip and you pull over on the side of the road and you just whip out your phone, like, oh, let me just look at my inbox. Because if you're not going to respond to those emails, why are you looking at them? They're just going to cause anxiety and they're just going to be hanging out in the back of your mind constantly, like, oh, I've got to answer that, I've got to answer that, I've got to answer that, until you can actually, you know, get somewhere where you can answer. If you have no intention of answering emails, just don't even look at them.
But if you do look at them, then you should respond to them right then and there.
Yeah.
Your thing is to be very intentional with your email. Like, don't just look at your email and take action on your email. And then perhaps lessen the amount of times that you deal with email every day.
Yes. And then also, I try to do whatever I can to avoid a million back and forths from an email. So if somebody says, hey, could we schedule a call? I just send them right to an online calendar where they can book something. So we don't go back and forth 20 times trying to work out a time that works for everybody.
What online calendar do you use?
Why are you asking me that? Are you trying to get me to do self-promotion?
I mean, a little bit.
I'm using the awesome WordPress plugin that Nathan and I built called Simply Schedule Appointment.
And it's a WordPress plugin, is that right? So you can install it on your own website?
It is, yes.
Well, I might have to download it and check it out myself.
You might have to, since you were one of our first backers.
Calendly is another popular one that people use. And MixMax, the tool that I mentioned earlier, has a scheduling feature also. You know, when it comes to scheduling meetings and stuff, I always send people to a calendar link because doing back and forths just drives me nuts.
And like another thing that'll generate a ton of back and forth is somebody says, hey, could we maybe meet for coffee sometime? Like, just cut that off right there. Like, if you are not interested in meeting that person for coffee, just say no. No, that's not going to happen. I mean, be polite about it. If you are interested in meeting them for coffee, like, again, give them, how about next Tuesday at noon, or send them to your calendar, or like, just get it finalized so that it doesn't become this endless email thread back and forth.
Yeah, I like that. And I always find that being definitive with emails, like, don't send open-ended responses. And what I mean by that is just, you know, if you're communicating with someone, make each of those emails very actionable, right? Like, if there's something that needs to be done, then suggest what that action is going to be.
Yeah, definitely. Give people a way to close the loop, like, as quickly as possible, because the last thing you want is going back and forth with somebody 50 times over something. And you know, sometimes the best way to do it is to say, you know what, this is going to take a long time to explain over email. Let's jump on a call, schedule something that works for you.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it a lot. So, all right, smarty pants. I know what I can do. I can limit my email checking to 3 times a day.
And I would be very intentional and consistent about the times.
Okay. Well, and I think maybe I'll just set a reminder for myself 3 times a day to check email. And that way I don't have to worry about it, don't have to think about it.
If there's some clients in particular that you're concerned about, I would drop them a quick note and tell them, hey, I'm making a little change to how I handle emails. Here's how things are going to go now.
Okay. That's a good idea. So that might be something to communicate, because I've got my vacation coming up, so I need to send out an email about that and, you know, just make sure that I'm communicating with folks. So yeah, I'll definitely do that. But what I was getting at, though, is you. I know that you have it all figured out and you're like, yeah, I do this perfectly because I'm Natalie. Nah. Well, Natalie, what are you going to do for the challenge?
I am going to stop cheating.
You cheaty face person, you.
I know, I'm a cheaty McCheaterson. Sometimes bad habits just start to creep in.
Yeah.
I will say that I have gotten into a pretty regular habit of checking my emails again in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop doing that.
Well, I feel like there's more you should be doing.
You think there's more I should be doing? What else do you think I should do?
I don't know. That just sounds like, well, okay. Not cheating is good. Getting back to the core of your good habit is good. Do you think that there's other things that you could do possibly to optimize what you were previously doing?
I was pretty pretty happy with it, and it left me so much of my day to just concentrate on work. Now, it does usually take me close to an hour to get through my inbox each morning, and maybe more like an hour and a half on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Which is balanced out by it being often more like 15 or 20 minutes on Friday morning. I was really happy with it and just so much less stressed. I will say that I could probably pay more attention to closing the loop faster on my emails, because sometimes I do kind of send back some wishy-washy, well, you might think about this and you might think about this kind of emails. And I think I could be more decisive about moving those toward closing and ending the thread.
Okay, got it. Makes sense.
And sometimes just saying, you know what, let's hop on a call and hash this out instead of going back and forth five or six times clarifying things. So I think those are some things that I could focus on more too.
I think that would be awesome. I'm curious to see how you go about implementing it. And what do you think I'm going to get out of this? What do you expect me to say about this at the end of 1 week of doing this challenge?
I hope that you will feel less anxiety and less stress about your emails. I hope that you will stop feeling like your workday is being driven by your inbox. And I hope that you will feel less overwhelmed and more in control, like you're the boss of your email.
I see what you did there. You kept it very on point, very on brand with this episode.
I'm just a professional. What can I say?
And you're so humble too. Well, I'm in. I'm ready to do the challenge. Yeah, so I'm excited and terrified all at the same time.
Exactly as it should be.
Oh boy. So I'm going to get out of my comfort zone on this email challenge, and then I'm only going to check email 3 times a day, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you can report back next week.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay, well, so now that we've done a thing 14 times, I feel like we should tell the world how they can find us, Natalie.
Okay, they can find us at our website, doweeklypodcast.com. They can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or TuneIn Radio. And they can always leave us gushy 5-star reviews on iTunes.
That would be great. Please leave us a 5-star review. We know that you want to keep this information for yourself, that you're the selfish kind of person that's like, yeah, I'm not going to help anyone. Well, you know what? The time for being selfish is over. That's your bonus challenge. Tell one friend who you think would be entertained or be helped out from this podcast, by this podcast. Let them know and tell them to listen. I will bake you anchovy and peanut butter cookies.
No, nobody wants those.
You don't know. You can't read minds.
I thought it was sardine and peanut butter cookies.
Sure, we'll do that one too.
Ew.
Anyway, folks, for the Do Weekly Podcast, I'm Alex McVasquez, and my co-host is...
Wait, do I have to lose the Mick off my name since you stole it?
Pretty much.
I guess I'm just Natalie Lees then.
Hey! All right, everyone, have a wonderful week, and don't check that email, because I will come by... And I will slam your computer shut, even if it's a desktop computer.
Yeah, we're watching you.
Yeah, straight up watching you.
See you next week.
No, I'll see you next week.
Not if I see you first.
I can never win this. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing.